just worship the Lord just a little bit longer? Just thank you, Jesus, right now. This is a monumental moment for this house and houses all over the world, because there's houses crossing a spiritual Jordan. And God is literally taking bodies of people, congregations, the body of Christ, through a spiritual river that the body of Christ has not been through before. When I started studying Joshua 3, which this message is going to be about, it stood out to me that Joshua told the Israelites, "You have not been this way before." And it led me to start looking at the Toronto Blessing and the Modesto Revival. Promise Keepers was even one of them. Asbury, which just happened. And revivals all across the world for the last 50 to 100 years. It's just been, God has breathed on his people during periods of time, ordained periods of time, where he just opened up a gate and went, whew. And today, a gate has been opened. And Bobby came up to me about the first song, and I've been getting this stuff about gate, that make sure you go through the gate. You can't stand at the gate. You got to go through the gate. You got to go through the gate. Bobby comes up to me and he says, a gate that is being opened in heaven that has not been opened before. And you say, what's the difference between what is happening and what is about to happen? Every other revival fizzled out. We are in the midst of God breathing on his people, or this will not stop. Listen to me. The Bible says that the increase of his kingdom has no end. It's going to get bigger, and it's going to get bigger, and it's going to get bigger. And the revivals of the past, that almost seemed like God went and just came to naught, this one will not have an end. And this revival is going to usher in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Alpha and the Omega and the A and the Z. Because listen to me, he said, I am not coming back for a church that has a spot or a blemish, or that is weak, or it is not healthy, or it is not in its right mind. And I want to read something to you. This is what he told me back here. He said, chemical imbalances be canceled. People, come into your right minds. This is a decree for you. This is a decree for you. This is a decree for you. Chemical imbalances be canceled right now in the name of Jesus. People, come into their right minds right now. Right now in this house. Right now in this house. This door has been opened. This is a door and a gate of healing. And I tell you right now, receive it. If you have to put your hands up in the air right now, if you have to cup your hands right now, maybe do something physical. Just show Jesus that you want what he's pouring out. And he told me back there, he said, were you doubting that I wasn't going to do what I said I was going to do? Were you doubting that I wasn't going to pour out my spirit on all flesh? Were you doubting that your sons and daughters were going to prophesy, that your old men were going to dream dreams? Were you doubting that this rain is going to be more fierce than the rains in the past? Receive it. God has already preached the message here today. All this message is a confirmation about what has already happened. I want you to get excited. Listen, Jesus said, we are alive. We are lively stones. I don't want you to look at the future and think, oh, doom and gloom and disaster and chaos. I want you to look at the future and say, this kingdom that's on the inside of the body of Christ is going to burst. Listen, it's going to burst forth, and the knowledge of the glory of the Lord is going to fill the earth. It's going to fill the earth. This thing that God is doing is not going to be in some corner. When he said you're going to do greater things than this, this is what it is. And it's going to get greater, and it's going to get greater, and it's going to get greater. And he has made a call to the church, and he has made a call to the church. And he says, consecrate yourself. sanctify yourself. We have these positional truths that says we have a glorified body, but you know what? I can hit my knee and I feel pain. He said I have a glorified body, but it's not manifest yet. It's the same thing with sanctification and these things that he talks about. Glorification and consecration, it is our positional truth, but he says, I want you to carry it out in the physical on earth. If there's something in your house that I'm telling you to get rid of, this is the season to get rid of it. If there's something in your house that Jesus is convicting you about and says, stop watching it, stop watching it. If there's a relationship that you're involved in, Jesus is saying, get out of the relationship. It's time to get out. He is saying, make a straight path for the highway of the Lord. This is not some kind of crooked path where we're going to go to the left and the right. Listen, there's a momentum in the church right now, and he's saying, go straight forward. Stay focused. Have your blinders on. Why? Because this is a narrow path. This is not some kind of wide path where we can do anything we want to do whenever we want to do it. And you say, well, is he mean? Is he a punishing God? He's doing this because he loves us. The same way we take our little kids when they're little and we say, don't touch that. Come on, let's not talk like that. Come on, let's do this. And he's doing the same thing with the church right now. And he says, whom I chasten, I love. He didn't say, whom I chasten, I hate or despise. He said, whom I chasten, I love. And the church is going through a time of chastisement, of pruning back and correction. And now, can you please raise your hand? If you're sensing this, is this happening in your own life? And it's crazy because when you say yes to consecration, he says, now I'm going to take you from anointing to appointment. I've anointed you, but now I'm going to appoint you. There was a gap between the Red Sea and the Jordan. They represented two baptisms. And Moses brought the Israelites through that first baptism. And you know what came after that? Testing. Testing, 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 testing. And he told the Israelites, I have to see what's in your heart. And we all know this story. A journey that should have taken days took years. And they ended up, a whole nother generation ended up with Joshua in charge. Moses was in charge of that first generation. I love this. And God said, Moses, you're not going to be able to go into the promised land. And Moses is a type of the law. And God says, the law is not going to make it into the promised land. You know what's going to make it into the promised land? Fierce, on fire, unconditional love. The kindness and goodness of God lead people to repentance. And you want to say, why is God breaking my heart? Why is God consecrating me? Why is he sanctifying me? Why is he breaking me down? Because he wants to get you down to the point where you associate yourself with his suffering, because he says, whoever suffers with me reigns with me. Whoever suffers with me reigns with me. Backdraft. So Shane's over at my house the other day. We prayed for 3.5 hours, and Shane looked at me and he said, I gotta get going home. He looked at his clock and said, it's been 3.5 hours. It seemed like 30 minutes. Let God take you away. Calgon, take me away. Jesus, take me away. Let Jesus take you away. He invites us to come to this table, and he says, I've said it in the presence of your enemies. And he says, come on into this table. Come on to this place. And when he says, I knock on the door, you know what that actually means? He says, he knocks, and he knocks, and he knocks, and he knocks, and he doesn't stop knocking. He doesn't knock 2 or 3 times. That word, if you study it, he says, he's knocking, and he's knocking, and he's knocking, and he's knocking. And he wants us to come into that place, whether you're just have music playing, worship music playing, whether it's just a devoted time where worship's playing and you're praying, whether it's you call a brother or sister over and says, hey, come on over, let's pray, let's do this. He's asking us, will you set your homes up as a sanctuary for me? Because what he's doing here, he wants what's going on here. He wants this wind and fire, not to just be in this house on Sunday morning. He wants to be in our homes Monday through Sunday. He doesn't want any gaps or schisms. And you watch what he's doing in the body of Christ. He is going to bring down wall after wall after wall after wall till the body of Christ actually walks what he prophesied, the full maturity and stature of Christ. And there's a door that's been swung open. It's open. Backdraft. So Shane and I are praying, and all of a sudden, it was like midway through or whatever, I saw this hallway in a house, and the flames just went boom, and they were licking up the walls, and they were engulfing the walls, and that's what I heard. I'm starting house fires. I heard I'm starting house fires. And then, preparing for the message, I thought what I saw was a backdraft. And God was saying, if your house right now is shut in, if you've got the doors locked and the windows shut, and it's kind of, I'm on this island, and I'm on this place where I'm isolated, I'm telling you this because I was there a month ago. God woke me up on a Tuesday at 3 a.m., and I had fire going through me and going through me and going through me. I can't tell you how uncomfortable this was for me. But you know what God was doing? He was ridding me of selfishness. He was ridding me of self-centeredness. He was taking my ego and just going boom. And he took me, man. And this lasted 4 days, and I had maybe 5 hours of sleep. And I came into a men's prayer meeting at Shane's on Saturday morning like this. I was so pruned back, I swear to you. If you could have seen what was happening spiritually and physically, you would have seen me like this. And I had a nub here, and a nub here, and a nub here, and a nub here. And he had cut me back. And the things that he had cut me back on, I was so deceived. I didn't even know those things were idols. I didn't even realize at the time that I was putting those things in front of me. And they were the focus of my life. We have a tendency to make excuses, and we have a tendency to say, oh, well, I'm this way because of this. But this season that he's pulling the church into, and that period, that short period, I feel like he packed like 5 years of consecration in like 4 days for me. He was like, you got to get ready. And he came into my bedroom at 3 a.m. with a blowtorch, like, listen to me. Where we're going, Adam is not going to be able to go there. The natural man is not going to be able to go there. The only place, the only thing that's going to be able to go in there is being in the Spirit of God. I keep praying over and over again, pure Spirit, pure Spirit, pure Spirit, pure. You know how people get healed? You know how people get in their right minds? Pure Spirit, no flesh, no flesh. And he's coming on the church, and he's sanctifying, and he's consecrating, and he's pruning back. But here's the good news. Once you get through that period, and there'll probably be other periods, but once you get through the period, he starts to water you, and he starts to give you some food, and he starts to give you a drink, and he takes you in his arms, and he says, I didn't like that as much as you did. I didn't want to have to come into that place and do that with you. But in the end, he says, I did it because I loved you. And we're going to look at this stuff at the end of our lives, these periods of time where God took us through these tests and these trials, and those points where we say, you know, this is very strange. This is very strange. There was points where that was happening to me. And I don't know why. I'm being very transparent here. Towards the end, I was like, if I don't get sleep, I feel like I'm going to die. That's the severity of what God was doing. And he said, well, I don't know if I want that to happen to me. It's the hour and the day that we're living in. And maybe it may be varying on the call on your life. Maybe all this is just different. Maybe he's going to do this correction and chastisement, cutting back, all in a different way with everybody. I heard this one pastor, and he said, I got woken up at 3 a.m., so I was like, okay. And he said, God told me to stop cussing. And I was like, man, I wish mine would have been that easy. But for whatever reason, I had a list this long. This dude had, please stop cussing. I was like, man, wish I'd have been like, okay, Lord, I'll stop. But no, man. Backdraft. So I saw this fire, and he said, if we'll open up our doors, and we'll open up our windows, and if we'll open our homes to ministry. And listen, when he started talking about this, this was terrifying for me because I stiff-armed this person and stiff-armed this person and stiff-armed this group for the sake of, oh, I don't know if we want to open up that can of worms. He's like, open up the can of worms. I'll deal with it. So we began to open up our property, and I began to invite people one by one over and just conversating with them and getting to know them. And do you know something? The stuff that we hold on to that is garbage and God asks us to let go, do you know that he will supply the real thing? Do you know that after that period of chastisement, correction, all those things that we thought we lost, that Linus blanket that we held on too tight and it was nasty and smelly, but we just wanted it because it was there forever. He's like, I'm going to give you the real thing. And Church, we are moving into a glory. A glory. A glory that the world is going to look at and they're not going to be able to say, that's not God. They're going to say, listen, it's crazy. So I've been watching The Chosen. I can't tell you how many things in The Chosen are lining up with what's happening in the world right now. I'm like, are you kidding me? I was reading about when Jesus said the fame of Jesus was increasing, and it says a great multitude. So I'm like, what exactly does a great multitude look like? So if you think of a multitude of people, that's a lot of people. A great multitude is a ton of people. Next thing on The Chosen, when we sit down that night, is Jesus basically giving the Beatitudes. And people, as far as basically the eye could see, just teaching me on simple things like watching The Chosen. You know what happened last night? He sent out the 12. I'm talking about where we're at. He sent out the 12, and he said, what I'm doing, now you're going to do. And you know what he's saying to us today? What I did, you're going to do. Listen, this thing has come forth. And he said over and over, you're going to stop preaching messages and you're going to be the message. Do you hear me? You're going to move from anointing to appointment. When you move into appointment, you're not a doctor studying books. Now you begin to operate. You're not a soldier training for war. You're actually in wartime. And can I tell you, when we crossed the Jordan today, we crossed into wartime. All right, we got to get going. Backdraft, a phenomenon in which a fire that has consumed all available oxygen suddenly explodes when more oxygen is made available, typically because a door or window has been opened. Open your mouth. God, in this hour, Jeremiah said, it's like a fire shut up in my bones. And he said, I am exhausted. He said, I am so weary from holding it back. And I looked up the word exhaust, and an exhaust on a car literally stops airflow or slows down airflow. And what Jeremiah was doing was, God, I'm not going to talk about this anymore. I'm tired of being persecuted. I'm tired of being run out of town. I'm tired. And Jeremiah said, I'm exhausted. And God told me when I read that, take the exhaust off. Take the exhaust off and let a pure flow of my spirit out of your mouth. Sometimes we forget, man, I got in this funk the other day. I was sitting on the back porch and I was just like kind of getting in this funk. And I just felt, you know what? Wait a minute. I can praise. What am I doing? What am I doing? So I put on I Thank God by Maverick City and I jumped around the house like a madman. And you know what happened? It lifted. On the other side of that, I was like, hey, it's gone. It's crazy sometimes where we forget about the weapons of our warfare. And God has to remind us. So I saw these fires. It reminded me of when David was bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem after being captured by the Philistines, and they put it in Obed-Edom's house. You know what Obed-Edom means? Servant of God. Obed-Edom was a servant. He was emptied. He led a sacrificial life. He was all about giving and not taking. God at some point had moved him from consumption to giving. And David had this heart that he wanted to bring that ark back from the Philistines of being stolen. And Uzzah tried to steady the ark. And they were doing it all wrong. It wasn't supposed to be on a cart. It wasn't supposed to be pulled by an animal. They were doing it all wrong. And Uzzah was like, ah! And God said, man can't touch it. Man can't touch it. And he took Uzzah's life. You say, that's harsh. I want to remind you that Ananias and Sapphira was in the New Testament. I'm not trying to scare you right now, but I want to tell you something, that we are in a period of time within the body of Christ. You know what Ananias and Sapphira did? They held back. They sold a field, and they kept half the profit for themselves. And they went in and talked to the disciples, and the disciples said, what have you done? Why didn't you come with everything? Ananias said, lied. And Ananias dropped dead. And then Sapphira came in. This is New Testament. And they asked Sapphira what happened. She lied. And she dropped dead. There's certain periods of time. And it says that happened to them because they tested the Holy Spirit. It says they lied to the Holy Spirit. And there's something about these seasons. Do you know what happened after that? It says the fear of God and God's awesomeness spread throughout the church, and it said the next thing that happened, they were on Solomon's temple, and people from everywhere were coming, and it says everyone was healed. There's times where I believe God says, okay, you're gonna go swing on the swings for a little bit, you're gonna play on the seesaw, you're gonna go on the playground for a little bit, okay. But I think there's times and seasons when God says, it's time to get off the playground. It's time to get off the swing that you've been swinging back and forth on over and over. It's time to get off the seesaw that you've been going up and down on. It's time to come out of that playground, and it's time to get real and come in and come in. So the children of Israel, through Moses, which Moses is a type of the law, couldn't enter. But Joshua, who is a type of Jesus, they could. They could enter in through Joshua. And when we read this, you're going to get a full understanding of where we're at right now in the body of Christ. You're going to get a full understanding of what just happened. And this is what it says in Joshua 1. Is everybody breathing? Is everybody breathing? Listen. He's doing this because he loves us. Lord, I thank you for your awesomeness in this house right now. I thank you for your reverence. We are a people that fear you, not because you are a punisher, but we fear you because you are awesome. That you are awesome. Your Shekinah glory, the Shekinah glory of God, is awesome. When people would see the Shekinah glory of God, it says they would fall on their face like dead people. Your Shekinah glory, Lord, we just pray right now, Shekinah come. We just pray Shekinah come, Lord. We thank you that that gate was open, Lord. We pray Shekinah come. We pray for that breaker anointing right now. We pray for that breaker anointing right now. We pray for that breaker anointing right now. Lord, open up the hearts of your people and the minds of your people to receive this pure word from you. Lord, I pray for fertile hearts, Lord. I just pray for a ground that is ready to receive the word of God. I pray that you would receive this word and it would actually heal you when you hear it being spoken forth. I pray healings throughout this house right now. This is an open door. This is an open door. This is an open door. And this is what it says. Then Joshua rose up early in the morning and they set out for Acacia, the Acacia Grove. Do you know what the Acacia Grove is? So they were coming out of the Acacia Grove. It's the place of scourging. It's literally moving away from the penalty of the law into the place of grace. It's moving from doing to receiving. And this is what it says. It says they were coming out of that place of scourging, coming out of that place of the law. There was over 600 laws that they had to be obedient to. Every single day they were like, oh, are we doing this right? Are we doing that right? Are we not doing this right? Are we doing this right? Are we not doing that right? And they came under bondage to this law. And it says they were coming out of this place of scourging. And it says, and they came to the Jordan. The Jordan River literally means to descend. So this is where it literally descends. But this is where God decided to descend on them. He was descending on them. Jordan means to descend. He and all the children of Israel lodged there. Close to 2.5 million people. Some say 3 million. This is not a small group of people. This is a camp that is from here to Salem with people. And they're all waiting. So they lodged there. So it was after 3 days. Isn't it interesting? Jesus mentioned 3 days, 21 times in the gospel, referring to his resurrection, referring to crossing over. And he says, after 3 days, that the officers went through the camp and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites and the priests were the ones that tended to the temple. In this day and age, we are them. We are them. They're called the set apart ones. Oh boy. Why is God doing this to me? He wants you to be set apart. He says, choose this day whether you want blessing or cursing. Which one do you want? If you want blessing, I'll set you apart. We have to look different than the world. We have to be different than the world. We have to talk different. We have to. The world has to look at us and say, boy, they're different. Because if we find ourselves enveloped in that and we just become a part of that and we just become unrecognizable in that group called the world, who are we going to minister to? He's saying, come out from among them. Come out from among them. He mentions it 21 times. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, the set apart ones bearing it, then you shall set out from the place and go after it. Go after it. If you're in this house today, the Ark of the Covenant is the presence of God. It is a symbolic measure of the presence of God. And he's saying, go after it. Go after it. Are you thirsty? Go after it. Are you hungry? Go after it. Are you to the place where the world is not quenching your thirst in the world? I got to a place where everything seemed so dull and monotonous, and I fell into this dark place, and I was like, what is happening to me? And God was saying, I had to make the world dim to you. I had to make the world dark to you for you to come out from among them. I'm 54 years and been a pastor for a long time, and he's telling that stuff to me. Why? It's where we're at and where we're headed. He doesn't want one of you left behind. He doesn't want me left behind. He doesn't want Mark left behind. He doesn't want anybody in this house left behind. I can tell you something today. If you know God, you know this is not an accident. You know what today is. You know this is not an accident, this word. You know you being here is not an accident. So if these things I've spoken, right mind. If that's you in here today, receive it. He also went into different healings of the body and disease and but they had to stay back a half mile. They had to stay 10 football fields back. And I was watching this happen in my head. 3 million people. And the Ark of the Covenant is a half a mile ahead of them, 10 football fields. And they got to make sure. Don't go too fast. Stay back. But Jesus went into the holiest of holies with his blood one time. And the veil to that temple was rent. And now he says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Come boldly into the holiest of holies. I have not cut you out from coming into that place. So you don't need to stand somewhere back here. You don't need to stand somewhere back here where the Ark of the Covenant, where the presence of God is somewhere out there. You don't have to stand from the outside. You don't have to feel like you're in some kind of bubble and watch everybody else and go, why are they excited? I double dog dare you. I double dog dare you to do something you haven't done before. You know, I want us to talk specifically about praying in the Spirit and praying in the understanding. Praying in the Spirit being tongues, praying in the understanding being English. And the same thing with singing, singing in the Spirit and singing with the understanding. I pray today that if you do not have that gift of praying in the Spirit, if you don't have that gift of tongues, I pray today that it would be released on you, because I can't tell you through this period of testing, through this period of chastisement that I went through, the cutting back of how I had to bury myself in my pillow on my bed. And it was unraveling, literally unraveling a blueprint or divine intel from God that I needed at that point in time, that it wasn't going to come another way. But we got to hang out with Jesus. He bids us to come to the supper table. We can't say... You know, I picture teenage kids that come, you know, if somebody's eating dinner, he comes in, he grabs a granola bar, and he's like, all right, see y'all later. He wants us to sit down at the table. He wants us to sit down at the table and chill out for a little bit. And he wants us to have the appetizer. And he wants us to have the main course. And he wants to have the dessert. And he wants to have a conversation with us. And some of these things, I'm teaching somebody right now that prays in the Spirit. I'm like, he's like, oh, I feel like after a couple minutes, I said, set your alarm for 30 minutes. I dare you to pray in the Spirit for 30 minutes. I dare you to pray in the Spirit for 30 minutes and see what happens. Because somewhere in there, whether it's the 10th or 11th or 15th or 20th minute, God's going to take your voice and take what you're saying in the Spirit, and he's going to be like a throttle, and he's going to be like, mmm, and you're going to start feeling yourself being carried away and taken away. And he's going to show you things that you could not have seen or heard if you're operating in an earthly mentality and a natural mentality. These things that he's pouring out are supernatural. That's why they killed Jesus. They killed Jesus. They killed Jesus. They killed the Son of God, the Lamb of God, who was literally doing nothing but loving people and touching people and healing people and people's eyes being open and ears being open. And they didn't like it because they were still natural. They were still in the flesh. They were still of the world. And here comes the supernatural outpouring down to earth. The Son of God comes and they don't want anything to do with it. We are not going to be those people that want nothing to do with this move. And sometimes for some of us, you're going to look at it and you're going to say, I don't know about all that. Well, you know what? Sometimes we've got to have a little bit of grace for people. You know, God is moving and God's doing this thing. We need to operate in love. Is there correction that needs to come from time to time? Of course, but we need to. Next thing. Do not come near that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. You have not passed this way before. But we're the ones that come up close. So I get to Chelsea and Wes and Chelsea's house for their get together where all the vendors are at. And they go up to Jeff and I'm like, this is what God's showing me. He's saying that the church has never been this way before. And that's when I was studying, I was looking at all these different revivals and God was saying, the difference is those revivals fizzled out. She said, this one's not gonna fizzle out. Next thing I know, I go over to Sherry. Sherry's praying for me and Kelly. First thing out of Sherry's mouth, we haven't been this place before. Random. She picks one scripture out of the Bible that I had just spoken to Jeff about and that had just come from my house about. Pay attention to coincidences. It's God's way from time to time of showing us and leading us and guiding us. And for you have not passed this way before. God is calling the church to walk in a new realm. The truth is the realm has always been there. It's not new to him. It's new to us. Listen, God 100 years ago saw this coming. Come on now. See, nothing's catching God off guard. God's not going, what in the world? What in the world is this? What revival is this? Wait a minute. Let me look at my notes. Wait a minute. No. About a year and a half ago, he started having us talk about fasting. He started having us talk about sanctification. He started about talking about consecration. Why? Because we've come up to this point, and today, you've crossed the Jordan. You say, how are we going to know that for sure? Wait and see. You better start inviting your friends. You better start inviting your neighbors and tell them you need to come to Abundant Life Fellowship or you need to go somewhere where this is happening. If you're like, I don't believe it, I'm going to tell you something. Wait and see. Even if we're 4 weeks into this and you're still like, I'm not sure. Keep showing up. He wants us to sit at the supper table. He's calling us. We have not passed this way before. It's a realm where we go from teaching the message to being the message, from talking about miracles, signs, and wonders to being firsthand witnesses of them and being conduits for them to flow. Not just, listen to this, this is something else, not just a select few, but for all that say yes. This revival, this great awakening is not going to just happen. It may be birthed out of congregations and birthed out of houses of God, but this thing that God is doing in the earth is going to be worldwide. It's not going to be somewhere in Toronto. It's not going to be somewhere on the coast of Florida. It's going to be worldwide. God is speaking. He's not just talking in this house. Boy, if we could see a video of 1,000 churches, 10,000, 100,000 churches right now, I bet there's a bunch of them saying the same stuff. I bet there's a bunch of pastors. I bet there's a bunch of teachers and prophets and apostles saying, listen, I don't know if you know it yet, but the church has literally crossed the Jordan, the spiritual Jordan, and we've come into a new land. You know what happened to Obed-Edom's house? Obed-Edom's house, they're like, okay, after Uzzah dies, they're like, we got to find a place to put the Ark of the Covenant. They put it in Obed-Edom's house. Obed-Edom, it's there for 3 months. And I'm picturing, it says everything that Obed-Edom did was blessed. And I'm picturing like Obed-Edom like going out to his garden and being like, these pumpkins are the size of beach balls. He's like, hey, you remember that stuff we've been asking God for? It all came all at once. This is where we're moving into. Listen, this is where we are moving into. Obed-Edom, a servant, a surrendered person that decided to open up his house for the presence of God. And God said, because you opened up your house, I'm coming to visit. So when we talk about backdraft and we talk about house fires, what he's telling us is he's saying, it's going to be a mirror image. What you're experiencing here, you're going to have in your home. and those things that you've been praying for, if you will sanctify and consecrate yourself and set yourself apart for my purpose, and if you will make your house a sanctuary for me to come and for other people to come, you watch. That stuff that you've been praying for year after year after year, you watch God. You watch. This is going to be sustained. You had the Toronto Blessing in Modesto, Brownsville, Melbourne, Promise Keepers, recently Asbury. With an Asbury revival in 2023, more than 50,000 visitors came from around the world for a 16-day period, including students from 285 colleges and universities, because they wanted to come close to Jesus. Listen, what if Asbury is happening in every city, in every province, in every country? What if this is happening worldwide? Listen. From being trained and prepared for battle to wartime, this is a now. This is a now time. I can't tell you. This is a now time. This is a now time. Jesus sent his disciples out and he said, go and tell. Me? Yeah. I can't talk. I'm gonna talk through you. I'm afraid. I don't like hanging out with people. Watch. Isaiah 43:19. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Listen, rivers affect Toronto Blessing. They called it the river. There's something about a tsunami. Listen. It's going to be a worldwide tsunami. Where you think a building cannot be lifted off its foundation, you're going to see it drifting down the street. Where you think something can't be destroyed by water, you watch. Because the Spirit of God is not coming in like a river this time. He's coming in like a tsunami. Joshua said to the people, sanctify, consecrate yourself, set yourself apart, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. You say, what does this have anything to do with me? Because he wants to move through a clean vessel. And Jesus, by his blood, has cleansed us. But there's also things that Jesus says, you're not going to be able to take this thing into this new realm. It's too heavy for you. You're not going to be able to do some of the things that you did in this old place. You're not going to be able to take that into this new place. And I'm going to tell you something. If you haven't gone through it yet, there's times where you're going to be like, I don't recognize myself. The things that I used to hold on to now have been, I've set down. And you come and sometimes you look in the mirror and you go like, who are you? But God will redefine you. Because the truth is, some of us have definitions of who we are. You wait. You wait about 3 months from now when you look in the mirror and you look and you say, who in the world is that? Because what Jacob is, or what God is doing, listen to what I'm telling you, God is moving the church from Jacob to Israel. He's moving the church from deceiver to power. I can't tell you how many things in the church and worldwide in the secular systems God is exposing, and God is pulling off the drapes, and listen, this light, this great awakening, this light, nothing is going to be able to hide in this thing. And I'm like, God, whatever you have to come in me to grab and take, go ahead, because I know whatever he takes from me, he's going to give me back tenfold. And the thing I thought I lost and was mad about, he's going to say, wait a little bit. Don't count that as strange that happened to you, because in the end, I'm going to produce endurance, and I'm going to produce perseverance, and I'm going to produce the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is not going to come from Adam. It's going to come from Jesus. But he says, why am I being consecrated? Because tomorrow you're going to see wonders. What's a wonder? When you go, I wonder what in the world was that? You wait. The manna comes down from heaven and they go, what is it? And there's going to be all types of people going, what is it? And we're going to say, it's Jesus. And we're going to say, you want a piece? Surrender. I'm just looking at this, but I'm not stopping because of the time. Then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant, cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel. This will not be done in a corner. Why does God want to consecrate us? Because he wants to release something in our life called authority. He wants to release authority. He says, I can't increase your level of authority. I can't get you to where I need. I can't get you to 100% if you're going to keep hanging on to the stuff. But if you set down the stuff, you will rise from that place, and I'm going to give you a new level of authority in your life. In your prayer life, when you feel like you're hitting a ceiling and you feel like you're hitting a block and you're feeling like you're hitting this thing, he says, if you do what I tell you to do in this process of consecration, you watch how your prayer life explodes. And the thing that you used to slam against, he said, you're going to get up on a building like a sniper and you're going to look at it and you're going to be like, now it's time, bro. Those devils and that demoniac, Jesus walks over and he, why did you come to torment us? Cross over. We're getting there. You shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the Jordan, water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. I wrote down, someone has to be willing to step in the water. Somebody has to be willing to step in the water. In Ezekiel's vision, he saw water come up to the temple door, ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, in a river that you had to swim in. The Jordan River at this time during the harvest was 100 feet wide and over 10 feet deep. I don't know how you were picturing the Jordan River, but before I studied that, I wasn't picturing it that big. They actually had an Olympic swimmer at one point try to cross the Jordan during harvest, and he couldn't do it. So you want to talk about getting in over your head, but the first step is you got to put your feet in the water. And what he'll do is when you put your feet in the water, he's going to take your ankle, he's going to take your knee, he's going to take you to your chest, and he's going to give you water, a place where you can't swim. And you say, why? Because he wants control. He's breaking the spirit of Jezebel. You know, we have a tendency to think the spirit of Jezebel has everything to do with sexuality, but actually Jezebel's root issue is control. It's control and intimidation and bullying. And God's like, I'm ridding the church of all that. I'm ridding the church. There's not going to be anybody. This God, there's not going to be anybody controlling me. I'm the boss here. We got to not worry about time. Someone's got to be willing to step in the water. Knee deep, waist deep in the river that you had to swim in. When the water reaches the sea, it says the masses, the sea, the masses, its waters will be healed and everything will live where the water goes. It says there are great multitudes of fish, but the swamps and marshes will not be healed. That's those that resist the movement in the water. It says they'll be given over to salt. Someone has to be a Caleb and Joshua who came back with a good report. Not to be focused on the giants, but on the fruit of defeating the giants. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. He said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and he will without fail drive out. What happens after you cross? He's going to drive out the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, and Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. All those things that have been tormenting you and pulling you and tugging you and all those little foxes. He says, if you'll consecrate yourself and move over into this next realm, he said, watch me fight with you. He said, you've been at the rowboat on the oars and you've been, how much longer can I do this? He goes, you watch when you cross over how I come in the boat. You can take one or I'll take the other and watch how we speed across this place. And normally would have taken years. God's going to be like, I'm going to float you right across with me. That's the new realm. We need to start, we need to start talking about this new realm. God says, if you obey my voice and sanctify yourselves, I will drive out your enemies and do wonders among you. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. The presence goes first. The presence goes first. What did Jesus say? Now I'm going before you. If he's the Z and you're like somewhere around M, maybe you're L, maybe you're S or R. He's like, I'm the Z. I've actually gone this way before. My presence is actually already made a way. I told you this is nothing new to God, it's new to us. So I prepared this place since you were a little kid. I prepared this place, has been prepared for you. As soon as the soles of your feet touch. It says the water is going to stand up in a heap. So it was when the people set out from the camp to cross over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan and the feet of those priests who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, the Jordan, which overflows its banks during the harvest. It literally, watch this happen. It literally is 10 feet deep, 100 feet wide. The Ark of the Covenant goes in, the priests go in with it. The waters stop. It all stops all the way to the salt sea, and it's heaped up. Look at what it says. That the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away, called the city, called Adam. So what's God doing in this new place? I told you, Adam is not going to be able to cross over. Nothing of Adam's crossing over. And literally that river was heaped up all the way to Adam. You say, why is that important? Because there was a first Adam and a second Adam called Jesus. Jesus, as the second Adam, took care of all that nonsense. He took care of the natural man. He took care of all that garbage. And all he's saying is like, let's manifest this thing now. Let's make this thing a reality. Let's not just go off and say, oh, now I'm walking in the spirit, I'm not walking in the flesh. Let's actually do it. The city that is beside Zeratin. The word Zeratin means pierce or puncture. His sacrifice was complete. He was bruised for our iniquities and wounded for our transgressions. By his stripes we're healed. He has dealt with the old man, Adam. And now he's asking, will you consecrate yourself? Will you sanctify yourself? Will you make manifest what I have already accomplished? Will you walk in my victory and my authority, or will you stay in the marsh pit, the pig pen, and the swamp of complacency and tolerance and remain unhealed? He says, it's time to pick up your bed and walk. This is a message to the church to pick up our beds and walk. And we're finishing right here. So the waters that went down into the Sea of Arabah, which is the desert, or wilderness, or the salt sea, failed. And they were cut off. And the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Then the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. So picture this, the Ark of the Covenant's in the middle of the Jordan. The priests are with them. And one by one, by one, by one, by one groves, over 2 million people passed through the Jordan into a new place. A new day. Do you know the first city that they conquered? Jericho. Jericho had two immense, not just, it says the walls of Jericho. It didn't say the wall of Jericho. There was two walls. There was a massive wall, and then there was another massive wall inside of it. Can you all stand? And they marched around Jericho once a day for 6 days. Then on the seventh day, they marched around seven times. Then the priests blew the trumpets, and Joshua told the people to shout because God had given them the city. They didn't shout after. They didn't shout after they were delivered. They shouted before they were delivered. They shouted because they already knew they had the victory. You know where we're going, right? You still have some energy in you? Because I want to make a declaration in here. And it's going to be a prophetic symbol. that we've crossed over. So what we're going to do is we're going to shout. And I know it's 12, almost 12:30, but I'm going to tell you there's going to come a day where it's 2:30 in here. And it may be 5. And it may be 8 o'clock. And it may be that we have to open it up on Monday. And it may be a thing where we got to figure out where to put people. We're not going halfway. Are you ready? I just picture Josh right now speaking to the people saying, are you ready to go over? So on three, we're going to shout. And I don't want you to look around. I want you to give me a shout. And God's going to release something in this house when we shout. I say, I'm timid. I don't care what you are. We're going to shout. We're going to do this on three. Are you ready? If it's not for you, let it be for your son or your daughter. If it's not for you, let it be for some addict that's down the street somewhere. If it's not for you, let it be about somebody else. Can we shout in here on three? Are you ready? With everything that we have, let's do this now. We're going to do it on three. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Down.